Accession number 15560, reel 4.
Mr. Bridge, reel 4.
The two unexploded charges under the road bridge at Nijmegen. I managed to retrieve one of those by stripping to my underpants and manoeuvring a wire round one of them, and we, thanks to the help of Major Vinnicum of 260 Field Company REs, were able to use one of his half-tracks and an improvised pulley on the bridge to hoist one charge out of the water. We then lowered it into a storm boat and I rendered it safe. I made a search for the second charge, but to no avail, I couldn't find it. So I returned by plane from Eindhoven to Brussels and then Antwerp, and a few days later came up again with a lorry and diving equipment with a view to trying to find the second charge. This time they provided me with a Belgian sub-lieutenant, Manette, as a qualified diver, and I let him do the diving. Now, the Waal is fairly fast flowing under the bridge, and it's not safe to go beyond, say, about 20 feet from the support, because you could be swept away by the water. So Sub-Lieutenant Manette did the diving, and he searched the area thoroughly so far as it was safe to do so, but we found nothing, so we gave it up. And we didn't feel very guilty about that, because we had searched to a fairly safe distance, 20 to 30 feet from the support. And if there was a charge, and if it went off, it would do no real damage to the bridge, so that it was not a menace. I don't know if that charge was ever found, but that was the end of the story for us. We just simply had to leave it because we could not search further, so we returned to Antwerp and left it. But Nijmegen is one of the places I'll remember as long as I live. And I think some of the people in Nijmegen have been very kind to both my wife and myself on the two occasions when we returned there since the war. And indeed, we still correspond with people. The last time but one was when the Dutch had severe floods in that area, and we couldn't get in touch with two of our friends, so we got in touch with two other friends in Nijmegen, and they said, well, like Rome, Nijmegen's built on seven hills, which we didn't know, and we're in the higher part, whereas your friends are in your other friends are in the lower part, but we can tell you they're as safe. So that, this is the sort of contact we still retain with Nijmegen.
And after Nijmegen?
Oh, after Nijmegen, of course, I just simply returned to Antwerp, which is my base. I was only in Antwerp, you know, for a very short time, one day and then two or three days. So that's the extent of Nijmegen. But the memories are intense. Back to Antwerp with not a great deal to do, because there's no work on bombs. There's somebody else responsible for mines. And in Duke, by this time, Antwerp had a very large number of V1s, and it got its first V2. And it became a very unhealthy sort of spot in which to live because of the menace from these two explosives. And fortunately for me, before too long, I got my draft kit back to UK. Incidentally, I was the only naval bomb disposal officer to do a tour of the Mediterranean and Europe.
Did you have any narrow escapes from the V weapons in Antwerp?
Yes. By the time I left Antwerp, there had been 10 V1s or V2s within the radius of half a mile of where I lived.
How were the public standing up to it?
Well, I wasn't terribly concerned about that, personally, but, you know, they didn't like it. And I was much concerned about myself. I thought if I'm killed on bomb disposal, that's one thing, but to be killed just by a falling bomb seemed to me to be bit outrageous. I mean, this is not what I joined up for. And what's the point of sitting here and doing nothing except just being bombed? And as a matter of fact, I made a request that I should leave Antwerp, and that request was granted.
Where did you go to?
Well, I came back to UK. And that was the end of the really effective part of my service career, because then, after Antwerp, I was posted to Liverpool, which was entirely my disposal. And I was based on Liver Building, and my area covered from the Solway to the Dee, including the Isle of Man. And any mines washed ashore there were my responsibility. These were, of course, British mines, and in the main they came from a minefield off Anglesey.
Was that easy work, or were there any problems?
No, easy work. This was easy work and safe work, you know, relatively safe work, so much so that at last my fiancée and I felt we could get married. It was safe for us to get married. So we were married in March 1945.
It's now the 50th anniversary of the general election of 1945, when Labour got all those seats. Some people say that it was the forces that tipped the political balance at that time. Do you have any memories of that election or feelings about it?
The one memory I have, I've nothing on that general issue that the forces did it. I couldn't comment on that. It may be true, it may not. But I do remember that my wife and I were living in McGull outside Liverpool, and the person whose name came to the fore for the first time, who was a very able speaker, was Harold Wilson. And he was putting up as an MP for that area. And that is what I do remember. Harold Wilson.
Did you go to his meetings?
One.
What impression did he make?
He is a very able speaker. But don't ask me for anything more than that, because, you know, it's too far back.